It is unclear whether Mr. Trump was tempted to take that deal, which could have turned headlines away from the damaging testimony of his former lawyer, Michael D. Cohen, in Washington. But Mr. Pompeo, who knew the details of the North Korean program intimately from his days as CIA director, opposed it. The president was told that if he settled for Yongbyon alone, he might appear to have been duped by the young leader of a country renowned for hiding pieces of its nuclear program in tunnels around the country. Mr. Pompeo said later that Mr. Kim's offer still leaves missiles, still leaves warheads and weapons systems, and a senior State Department official argued that sanctions relief would fund the production of more weapons. It also would have let the North continue to produce uranium, a key ingredient for nuclear weapons, at a hidden enrichment center near the capital, Pyongyang, one of several suspected nuclear sites beyond Yongbyon that the United States has been monitoring from afar for nearly a decade. "I think that they were surprised that we knew," Mr. Trump said. In the end, the president took a brief walk with Mr. Kim around the hotel's pool, shook his hand, and then canceled lunch in a glassed pavilion. "This kind of opportunity may never come again," Ri Yong-ho, North Korea's foreign minister, told reporters later that night. For a president who often complains that his predecessors only let the North Korea problem fester, the 8,000-mile trek from Washington to Hanoi was a crash course in why those presidents failed. Many around Mr. Trump believe he will, too. North Korea was the first international crisis of the Trump administration, and discussion about how hard to press the country sometimes got heated. At one point, aides said they heard Lieutenant General H.R. McMaster, the National Security Advisor, and Jim Mattis, the Defense Secretary, shouting at each other behind closed doors. General McMaster was intent on signaling to both North Korea and allies that Mr. Trump was serious about enforcing sanctions and that he would not tolerate a nuclear North Korea. In a series of Situation Room meetings, the administration reviewed options to ramp up its sanctions and covert operations, including an Obama-era program of sabotage against North Korean missiles. War plans were rewritten, and General McMaster spoke openly about the possibility of a preventative war if the threat grew. The shouting was prompted by General McMaster's insistence that Mr. Mattis intercept North Korean ships on the high seas to determine whether they were engaged in sanctions busting. But Mr. Mattis resisted, worried that the outbreak of a firefight at sea could quickly escalate out of control. Mr. Kim, for his part, turned up the pressure, launching missile after missile, including new intercontinental ballistic models that appeared capable of hitting the United States. There was also another nuclear test, which some experts believe may have been a hydrogen bomb, as the North claimed.